There was a woman come up, and she had several things wrong with her. And I told her, I said, well, I'll pray for you, but before I do, I said, I need to know a few things about you. I said, how much time do you spend every day reading God's Word? She said, I don't read it. I said, well, do you go to church? She said, well, when I can. I said, when you can? I said, I'll tell you what. I said, God's very merciful. So I said, if you will make Him a promise, you'll start coming to church regularly every Sunday. And if you'll start spending at least an hour a day in His Word, and you'll start doing what you learn when you read it, I said, then I will pray for you, and the King will heal you. She said, I don't have time to do that. I just want you to pray for me. I said, ma'am, you didn't hear what I said. She said, just pray for me so I can get healed. I said, ma'am, I'm not the healer. I'm only one of His sons. I can't heal you. I said, God's the one. I said, you're sick now because you haven't done what God said. I said, if you don't change, there ain't no way you're going to get healed. She said, well, I just don't have time. I said, okay, then I ain't got time to pray for you. I said, next, you go on. She said, what? You're not going to pray for me? I said, ain't no use. I said, if you're not going to do what God says, He ain't going to heal you. I said, you got to serve Him. Does that scripture say you can, if you want to, serve Him? I don't know. When I went to school and they taught me English, I'm not a very good English major, but I know what must means, don't you, brother? We got that, right? If that teacher in school said, you must do this, or you must be here at 8:30, or I'm going to give you a spanking. I mean, the next morning I got there at 8:35, and I got my tail busted. I found out that teacher meant what they said. You must be here at 8:30. The next morning I'm there at 8:25. You see? There's a consequence. Well, this is the same way with God. He's no different. If you will serve Him and only serve Him, then He will bless your food, your water. He will bless it. Now then, technically speaking, from that right there, if I'm totally obedient to serve Him, when I go over and pick up my glass of water, do I need to speak a blessing over that glass of water? Now wait a minute. Think about what I said. Think about what I said. If I'm totally obedient to God, has He already blessed that for me? Is that what He said? Now, wow, if we could walk totally obedient, we wouldn't even have to be concerned, would we? We'd go get a glass of water and say, Lord, I'm thankful for this glass of water. And you drank it? And He said, I'm going to put everything in it you need to make your body strong and you're going to be healthy. Now, is that a good place to live? But you know, I'm afraid I make a few mistakes along the way. So before I drink it, I say, Lord, please bless this in Jesus' name. So, you know, I'm not sure I'm walking exactly where He wants me to, so I'm trying to cover all bases. So whenever I get my water out, I say, Lord, I want to thank You for that water, and I'm going to ask You, Father, in Jesus' name, to bless that water that I'm going to drink in the name of Jesus. And I do that all the time, just to cover myself. Because who knows when I sin? And only God knows. And He said, if I'm serving Him and doing everything right, He will bless my food and water. And He will keep me healthy. Or He will take all sickness and disease away from me. So, let's look at it like this. If I'm sick, or I'm having problems, what does that mean I am not doing? I'm not doing everything God wants me to do, right? Somewhere, that's just like another man when we were out at GLC. He walked up to me and he said, I want you to pray for me. He saw us on television that night, and he came out, and he said, I want you to pray for me. He said, I'm 50 years old, and I have all these physical problems. He said, I'm a truck driver. But he said, I had no idea until I got a hold of your teaching why I had this problem. He said, I'm driving these trucks up and down the road. He said, I'm living in all kinds of sin. He said, I'm listening to the junk of the world. I'm sleeping with the wrong women. I'm doing everything wrong. And he said, one night a man shoots me and robs me. Hit him in the head with a gun and shot him, and it caused him to have a colostomy and all that kind of stuff. And here he is 50 years old with all this stuff. He said, but I now know why I went through that. Because he said, I was sinning everywhere. Do you see where this man had the door open to the devil? Sure. If you got the door open to the devil comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. He said, he'd done a good job on me, but he said, since I've got a hold of your teaching, he said, I'm still driving that truck. But he said, I ain't sinning no more. Now then, did he have to get shot? Did he have to get hit in the head with a gun? No. If he had loved God and served Him only, what would God have done for him? Blessed him. There wouldn't have been no robbery. There wouldn't have been no hitting in the head with a gun. The Lord would have sent His angels to protect him. But see, we today don't see these principles. Let's go to Deuteronomy 7:15. Oh, okay. Okay, 1 Corinthians 7, what we saw about a while ago, the husband should not deprive his wife of sexual intimacy, which is her right as a married woman, nor should the wife deprive her husband. The wife gives authority over her body to her husband, and the husband also gives authority over his body to his wife. So do not deprive each other of sexual relations. The only exception to this rule would be the agreement of both husband and wife to refrain from sexual intimacy for a limited time so they can give themselves more completely to prayer. Afterward, they should come together again so that Satan won't be able to tempt them because of their lack of self-control. Is that pretty clear? You know, I mean, I've seen a lot of times, and people don't understand that when you don't obey God, that there's a consequence. And I've seen women come to talk to me and say, I need you to pray for my husband. And I said, well, what's wrong with your husband? Well, he done something wrong, and I don't like it, so I'm punishing him. I'm sleeping in another room. I said, man, you set yourself up for a problem. What do you mean? I said, he was mean. He did something I didn't like. I said, God didn't say that. He said, you are made for Him and you're to submit to Him. You're to sleep with Him if you're married with Him. If you're not married to Him, then you ain't to sleep with nobody. That'll get you in trouble. That'll kill you just as quick. You know, when a man and woman sleep together and ain't married together, man, that'll kill you quicker than the other one will. It'll bring sickness and disease to your body and death to you. But a lot of people don't know that either. But the Scriptures clearly teaches that too. But this one here, whenever it talks about when you go to prayer and fasting, and a lot of people don't know that. They say, well, we're going to pray and fast. Okay, when you pray and fast, that means you're to have intimacy with God only. You're not to have sexual relations with your mate while you're on a fast. The Scripture says so, didn't it? If you're fasting, no food, you can drink water, no food, and no sex, even if you're married. But He says, don't do it too long. Because you know what happens to people? That especially the younger you are, the greater your sexual desires are, usually. And if you go on a 20 or 30 day fast, you know, or if your wife were to say, well, honey, I'm going to go on a 21 day fast. And the husband says, okay, I'm not going to go with you on that because I got to work and I can't stay at home and I know I can't work and do everything for 21 days. She said, well, you know we can't have any sex for the next 21 days. He said, I know. I know what the Scripture says. Okay, no problem. So the wife goes on a 21-day fast. They sleep together, but no sex. But in the process of that 21 days, he's at work, and he's looking at the pretty girls and everything, and the devil's trying to get him to yield to another woman. And if he's not a strong man, he could possibly yield. And if he does, then the whole thing was defeated. He opened the door to the devil. You see where I'm coming from? So you make a mutual agreement what you're going to do, and then you stick to it. But then after the 21 days are over and she's done her fast and everything, you come back together so that you won't be tempted by the devil. Because he's pretty good. You know, he does everything he can to drag you away to open a door to him so he can come in and get you to sin. Because anytime you break God's rules, you sin. And you open the door to the devil. And, of course, the devil is the one that's going to come in to steal, kill, and to destroy. He's the one that makes you sick. But God put him out there and give him this power and authority to do this. Who is in total control? God. That's right. nothing happens except God says it. When he says it, it happens. So if you've been given the death penalty, God assigned that to you because of your sin. So don't go there with him. Walk holy and do what he says. Okay, let's go to that Deuteronomy 7:15. And Deuteronomy 7:15 says, "And the Lord will protect you from all sickness. He will not let you suffer from the terrible diseases you knew in Egypt, but he will bring them all on your enemies." Now then, what he's saying here just before this, if you go and read it, he's saying, if you obey me and serve me and keep my commandments and do everything I tell you to do, he said, and the Lord, who's going to do this? The Lord. Can you think of anybody you'd rather have on your team than the Lord? I can't. I don't care who I got on my team as long as he's my captain. In fact, the other day, as some of you know, since I fly, a little sign there in the pilot shop, and it says, a little to put on your bumper, it says, God is my co-pilot. Now, there were several guys in there, and I looked up at that. And of course, I'm one of the older ones in there and probably got more time flying on my head than most of them got, you know, total flight, but because I have been flying for a long time. But I looked up and I said, well, all I got to say about that sign, I don't want that sign. One of the men said, Thurman, I thought you were a Christian. I said, man, I am a Christian. But I said, when I fly that airplane, I don't want God as my co-pilot. I said, I want to be his co-pilot. I want him to be the captain in that airplane. I don't want him co-piloting. You know, I can't think of a better captain to have on board than the king, can you? I mean, absolutely not. I want to be the co-pilot. I want him to be the king. I want him to be the captain. So, if he is, the Lord will protect you from how much sickness? If you obey him and satisfy him, if he protects you from all sickness, then how much will you have? That's kind of awesome when you look at this, isn't it? All these things are in the book. He will not let you suffer from the terrible diseases you knew in Egypt. He will not let you suffer. But he will bring them all on your enemies. Now let's go to verse 26. He says here, do not bring any detestable object into your home.
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with the teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website, or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.